You will have unchosen suffering in life. No doubt about it. So why not choose suffering too, so that you're prepared for unchosen suffering? If you avoid suffering and unchosen suffering your whole life, the moment it hits you, it will cripple you. And if you want to be prepared so that you can process this pain and eventually you can move on with your life, you need to choose suffering now. Welcome back to Inspire Change with Jordan Mulligan. And today's video is talking about the perception of pain and overcoming that in your life. Today's video was sponsored by Huel, a quick, affordable, nutritionally complete source of food with everything that your body needs. Find exclusive offers with the link in the description. Thank you so much for Huel for sponsoring this episode. So today I wanted to talk about the perception of pain. And when we're striving to achieve something in life, usually we're met along the road with some pain, some difficulty, some hardships. And also life is just going to serve you those kind of hands anyway. It's something that I found along my journey, that there is two types of pain. There's chosen suffering and unchosen suffering. And for me, I've experienced both. I find that when I choose to suffer a lot more, that when I have unchosen suffering, I'm a lot more capable of dealing with it. And that's what I wanted to dive into today, is how we can use certain techniques and certain mentalities to overcome pain and discomfort. The reason all of this came about is I've recently started doing a ultra event. And in this ultra event, I'm carrying 115 kilos on my back, which is around 250 pounds. And it's absolutely agony from the moment you put it on to every single step. And we've done up to 5 miles now with this. And it's agony. It's so painful. And I have to go to a place in my mind and use certain techniques. And through this world record, this run, this charity event that I'm working on, I've developed really, really good methods and techniques to overcome the agony that I'm facing. So that's what I wanted to share with you today. But then also throughout my life, I've faced a lot of hardships. As you guys might know, you know, I've shared some of these stories with you guys. And again, I noticed along the way that there were certain things that my body was doing unconsciously, and there were certain things I was doing consciously to try and get through that pain. A little bit of background of the thing that I wanted to talk about is that, you know, I've spoken about this before. My son passed away. He was a stillborn baby, and through those hardships and those difficulties, my body reacted in a very, very specific way that was something that I feel like if I was to share with you guys, it might give you help and context and maybe an experience to sort of look at, that you might be able to draw similarities from, help from, whatever it is. So yeah, my story is that my son was stillborn, and it's something that I wasn't expecting at all. And it was a huge shock to my life. And straight after that happened, I felt a rush of emotions. I was so emotional for the, you know, 24 to 48 hours post that happening. And I was devastated. But the pain became so overwhelming that at around the 48 hour mark, I just stopped feeling anything. And I could not cry. And I would Google search all day and all night about, you know, different terms. Like, I'm a man who's just experienced baby loss. I can't feel anything. Is this normal? I'm a man who's experienced loss. Is this normal if I don't feel any pain? I'm a father who lost his son. And I would search all day, all night, and I could not find anybody who was going through a similar circumstance. However, since then, and through talking to loads of different people, I found it's not a man thing, although I would say it's more prevalent in men. It's actually just a human thing, that when something is so bad and so difficult and so traumatic to deal with, you go into, some people call this, I believe it's probably the wrong terminology, but they call it shell-shocked, where you feel nothing. That comes from, it's actually a terminology used in war, but your body is so shocked by what is happening, and it knows that you cannot process this emotion so much that it shuts everything down. And it doesn't allow you to feel the pain because it doesn't think that you're capable of processing those pains and those emotions. I only know this now. So your mind is an extremely powerful tool. When I was going through the deepest, darkest, the pain I would never want to face again, my mind managed to put my body and my brain into a situation where it couldn't feel any pain, nothing. I couldn't cry, I couldn't feel sad, I couldn't feel happy, I couldn't feel anything. So to me, it was proof now that you can go to that place consciously and choose to be able to avoid physical pain and emotional pain through the power of your mind if you know how to switch it on, right? And just a little bit more background to this story is that the power of that moment and what my brain was doing was so powerful that the only time I cried throughout those few weeks that this was happening was when I slept. And my partner at the time would tell me that I knew that I did it, but I would whimper and cry in my sleep. And I knew that I would burst out of my sleep in like these floods of tears and screaming, like I would scream in pain. And then I'd wake up, I'd realize I was awake, and then the tears would stop and I couldn't cry again. So your mind is so powerful that when something like that happens, it waits until you sleep to process the emotions and try and relieve this valve of emotions. And that's super important as well. When you go through something traumatic or something difficult in life, you do have to eventually relieve that pressure that's building up inside of you. I think to continue with the bottling it down and not feeling anything actually can be extremely detrimental. So I do personally recommend that you eventually try and process these emotions. I do that through sharing, and it's actually what eventually unlocked this block on my emotions and my pain. I went to a group, it's called SANDS, S-A-N-D-S, and it's for stillbirth and baby loss. And it's this group that, you know, you can go to and you meet up with other people who have experienced baby loss. And at the time I wasn't feeling anything, and I shared, I listened to all these stories and I shared my story, and I asked a guy, and I'd still not find the answers on Google. And I said, you know, I don't know, I don't feel anything. You know, it's been 2 weeks since I felt this. I've not felt anything. And he said, can I share my experience with you, Jordan? And he said, I went through the same thing. I couldn't feel anything. And then 2 years later, my dad, who I'd not seen since I'd had the stillbirth and since my son had passed, came to the door, and I knew that he wanted to talk about my son. And he looked me dead in the eye, and something just unlocked in that moment, and he fell to the floor, and just, it felt like it was day one. He started crying, and he was finally able to feel his pain again. And just hearing someone else's experience that was really quite different from my experience in some ways unlocked me. And I drove back from that group, and I felt fine. And then halfway through the car ride, I just burst into tears uncontrollably, couldn't control it. And the pain was just, you know, flooding in, and I had to pull over the car because I couldn't see the road. And I cried there for 30 minutes or so. And eventually I stopped and drove home. And that was the start of sort of my healing process, because I was actually acknowledging the pain. So to make the point, when you go through something extremely traumatic, whatever that is in life, people can attest this throughout history and through sharing, and you might know somebody, and it might even be yourself. We know that the mind can block out pain to the point where you can feel nothing. And that's unchosen suffering. So what happens when it comes to chosen suffering? When you decide, you know, you want to be successful in life, you want to achieve a great feat, world record in physical achievements, maybe start a business that's never been done before, do something extremely difficult, raise a family by yourself. You know, these really tough things that are very, very hard. How can we apply that, what I'm speaking to your own life? So this has been my experience with the weight carry that I've been doing. So I'm carrying this 115 kilos. And to describe it to somebody who's listening to this, it's 115 kilos placed very low on the back and at quite a long leverage. So it's constantly pulling me back to the floor, almost like trying to pull me over backwards. And I have to load it on the back because of the event that I'm doing, which I'll give more details in the future. but it kind of like pulls you back. And because of that, the straps that are on my shoulders, they cut into your shoulders and they cut the circulation off on your arms. And then I have a strap around my waist that is tied as tightly as possible to try and load some of that weight onto the hips. And, you know, over the course of 5 miles, it's, you know, thousands and thousands of steps. And over the back is this this belt that is constantly rubbing, that is just burning the skin away, to the point where, you know, it rubbed away a few layers of skin, and I'm just bleeding at the back and my shoulders are bleeding and the weight is just crippling to the point where my knees are bowing in. And I've got some videos of that, and maybe I'll put some up on screen of some of the stuff we've been doing recently. But by the end of the run, my knees are kind of caving a little bit. And it is very, very brutal, excruciating pain for, you know, 5 miles. One of the worst times took 3 hours to do, which is not good. It's not what I intended, but that's how long it took. And through that is just pure agony. So that's the context to this. So how do I mute that pain out and overcome it? So there is a few things. The first thing is a simple technique that I use, which is, I call it, I want to become the passenger on the vessel that is the body. And I do this on long runs as well. And you meditate to be sitting behind your eyes, peering through a giant glass screen, watching the world go by and your body do this amazing thing. So to me, this is kind of tapping into that place where my body was at the time when Jacob died. But this time I'm choosing to be there. I'm trying to meditate myself into a position to just be a passenger on what is physically happening. Because when we have something traumatic to happen to us, a lot of the time it's emotional and you don't control that pain. But when you're self-inflicting physical pain on yourself, I'm basically trying to do what my body did before, and that is just to become an observer, become a passenger. And I can tell you this 100%, when Jacob died and I was in that moment where I couldn't feel anything, I was 100% the observer. I just felt like I was floating around, not really conscious of much. I was just, you know, I was just there. And that's exactly the sort of meditation I'm trying to reach when I get into a physical event. I'm trying to meditate to be in my head. I'm trying to sit in my head and just watch this sort of pass by. So that's the first thing that I do. The second thing that I do that to me is probably the most powerful tool, and I feel like if you start using this, you're going to build so much mental toughness that you can succeed in any physical endeavor, but also any business or entrepreneurial or any endeavor at all. You bend in to the pain. So the other day, the one that took 3 hours, this run that was just so difficult to do, my back was all bare skin. It had been ripped, all the skin had been ripped off from the run before that. And the belt was just rubbing on an open wound. And the feet are blistered, the knees were caving in, you know, the shoulder straps were just pure agony. And I resisted the pain, you know, for 3 miles, 4 miles, whatever it was, the majority of the time I resisted the pain. I was uncomfortable. I'd stop, I would shimmy the back, I'd try and get it off the cut. So I would try and walk in a different way, but nothing worked, because what I was trying to do is avoid the inevitable pain. And the pain was actually being caused by me not wanting to experience it. It was being caused by it coming back, me knowing that eventually I'm going to feel it rubbing on my back again. And because I was trying to avoid it every time it came back, I was failing this mission to avoid the pain. So the last mile, I got to a technique that I've used before. I don't know why I didn't use it for the first 3 miles, but I'd used before, which was bending into the pain. So, you know, I let it sit on that cut. It wasn't going to cause any more damage than it was already an open wound. And I just let it rub. And eventually, the, you know, agony, pain. But after, you know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and my body realizes, and my mind realizes that he's not going to stop. Like, he's not actually going to be able to physically stop that rubbing. He's deciding to not stop, and he's deciding not to avoid it. So my brain's like, well, there's no point bombarding him with pain signals this whole time. And they kind of get duller and duller. And don't get me wrong, it's still present somewhat, but the pain becomes duller and duller and duller. Because every single time you avoid the pain and you give your mind that break and you're telling it that, yeah, I'm going to try and avoid this, when it comes back, your mind is like bombarding you with this sharp pain again. So when you bend into it, it really does dull the noise and you kind of embrace the pain. The thing is with that is I'm not telling anybody to do this. I'm just talking about my experience. What I don't want somebody to do is go out there and cause himself injury through something like this. The event that I'm doing right now is extremely brutal and I genuinely wouldn't recommend it to anybody. And I am taking a large risk with my physical body, especially my knees and my legs and my back. And I'm aware of that. So, you know, you can message me about it's a silly thing to do, but at the same time, like, I'm very aware of it. And what I don't want people to do is use these powerful techniques that I genuinely think are extremely powerful and then go out there and do something silly. However, you are going to face discomfort and pain throughout your life. That is just inevitable. It'd be nice if it was all calm and peaceful all the time, but it's not, and it's not going to be. So when you get to a place where it's very difficult, you can use these techniques. So yeah, just put that in there as a disclaimer. And it's interesting. I've also felt this with physical trauma before as well. So one time I was playing basketball. It was actually the last time I played basketball. Some of you might know the story. I was a little bit bigger at the time. It was just before Jacob died. And I was at a basketball coaching clinic. And I was trying to impress the coach there because it was a Division I team. And I was impressing him and I was super happy. And I went up for a dunk. I came down funny, slightly rolled my ankle, didn't feel anything initially. So that's the initial thing is my brain didn't register because it didn't know there was any pain going on. And I tried to stand back up and I fell back down again. So then I looked at my friend's face at the time and he looked at me in absolute shock and horror. So I grabbed my leg, I looked at it and my foot was facing the wrong way because I'd had a subtalar dislocation. And because I saw his face and I saw the people around me, initially there was some pain. I'm not going to deny it. There was some pain looking at it. But I realized that there is no medical support here right now. There's no way I'm letting anybody snap that ankle back into place whilst we're here. And I'm going to have to get an ambulance to the hospital to get this fixed. And I started to just embrace the pain. And I really just breathed through it, embraced the pain. And within 3 or 4 minutes, and probably the adrenaline was kicking in as well, but around 3 or 4 minutes, just felt like I was sat there with my ankle facing the wrong way. And honestly, there was no pain, there was no agony, nothing. The paramedics arrived 20 or so minutes later and they asked if I was okay. I said, yeah, I'm absolutely fine. They cut my shoe off. They loaded me onto the hospital bed, put me in the back of the truck. And it was really funny, actually. The guy was like, I've never seen anyone so calm and pain-free in when they've had an injury like that or, an accident like that. I was like, I can't feel anything. Like, I just started to like feel the pain and it just started to go away. And then he was laughing and joking and he was like, hey, can I get some videos with you? And he started taking a video and was like, oh my God, look at this guy's leg. He's, really chill. Started taking some photos. And then they put me on the back of the truck and we were just laughing and joking the whole time. And they was wheeling me into hospital and everyone was like shock and horror. But then they realized that I was kind of calm. And and it became a thing of like the mind was more powerful and more relaxed. And I think a lot of people, when they see the reaction of other people, we see this in children all the time, but when they see the reaction of other people, if they perceive you to be in pain, especially with kids, you feel the pain. And for some reason, because I was diffusing it with laughing and joking, they eventually realized I wasn't in pain. And we didn't, they didn't like give me that look of that signal of you should be in pain right now. So I didn't accept it. And again, another really important thing is the outside perspective of what you are going through can have a huge effect and detrimental impact on how you feel. How you feel is how you feel. It's not supposed to be dictated by anybody else. That's why when I felt nothing, I searched for answers and I searched for how other people feel and slowly started to realize that it is very individual. Even the story that the man shared with me at the Sands group was his individual story. And I think perception of pain is extremely important because if you think you're supposed to feel pain, your mind is so powerful that you probably will. And if you tell yourself, actually, maybe I won't feel pain, your mind is so powerful that maybe actually you will. That's what I'm talking about here. That's how powerful the mind can be.
I have just received the Huel Daily Greens, and this is going to be my first time trying it. One scoop goes in. And I've been seeing this product everywhere, and I've wanted to try it for a long time. 91 vitamins, minerals, and whole food sourced nutrients, adaptogens, super greens, and fruit complex mushroom blend, dairy-free probiotics, antioxidants. Now, I love Huel because I think they're absolutely amazing. All their products are. So I know that this will be great, but the reason I wanted to try this is because a lot of the time, I don't get enough time to get in all those things that are in there. And this is how I will now do it every morning that quickly, 10 seconds. Ooh, I was expecting it to taste really manky, but that's really good. And it tastes healthy as well. So I really feel like I'm getting my health out of that. If you want to find out more about their daily greens, one of the most convenient products, I think, with all of that in there, you can go to the link in the description where you can get a discount code. I want to say a massive thank you to Huel for supporting us. They are supporting our physical endeavors, our podcast, our business, because the thing that is so precious about the Huel product for me is the time that it saves. The amount of time that you can waste throughout a day is incredible. And with food and nutrition planning, it is very difficult. So to know that you can do this and have everything that you need in one scoop is absolutely mind-blowing for me. So head to the link down below.
For me, when people are experiencing these high acute pains and these difficult moments, that these are, you know, some of the techniques we can use and they work really, really effectively. But another situation kind of comes to mind that I think is actually the hardest situation to deal with. And that's when these things are prolonged. And they're not prolonged for your lack of trying for them not to be prolonged. But some situations in life are quite difficult and painful and uncomfortable to deal with over long periods of time. Poverty, you know, your social economical situation, you know, like I think to my mom, you know, we grew up as a family of seven and she raised seven children on her own, you know, by herself, single mom, no money, you know, debt looming over her. And for me, that was a very, very difficult time for somebody to go through for years with almost probably at the time, no end in sight. You know, the seven children that you have to see to the age of 18, 19, is going to be very, very difficult situation to get through. And my mom did the same thing. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that my mom did not feel pain and wasn't in discomfort. I know she was, you know, we've spoken about it more recently, that it was very difficult. But my mom almost accepted that there was no alternative. There was no escaping the situation. And this is what I have to work with. And I'm going to make the best out of the situation. And she bent into the pain. This is what she did. She bent into the situation. You know, she made it work for us and for herself. And she also used a lot of Stoic principles. I don't know if anyone follows my brother, the Everyday Stoic, William Mulligan. His book is actually out at the moment. But he speaks about my mom in that book quite a bit because my mom used a lot of these Stoic principles about how she perceived the situation she was in. And she didn't take on the emotions. She didn't take on, you know, this is... I'm really hard done by, what am I supposed to do, woe is me. She understood the situation, she took it on board, and she just kept moving forward very stoically. I didn't say my mum is the definition of stoic, but these are the difficult situations to deal with. I think a lot of these situations, when we talk about these techniques, you need to implement them in a way of survival almost. They need to be your default. So the way that I would implement them is by thinking about that every single day. You can do this by like a positive reworking of your situation. So for me, when I was growing up with no money and I was trying to become an entrepreneur and I was, you know, on the dole and on benefits, and I thought there wasn't much hope for me, I kind of twisted that and I started to see that there is a better chance of me succeeding because I've had to get out of the, I had to rise from the ashes, let's say. I had to work in a very, very difficult situation, which means to me, I'd be a lot mentally tougher. I would have grown a lot more than most people who had a better start from me. And I started to twist that. And my mind genuinely started to believe that because I'd have a tougher start in business and a tougher start in what I was doing, that I was stronger and it meant that I was more capable and more talented than people who were in the same business as me. Now, whilst somebody's perception of that might not be true, my mind believed it. And that's the most important thing, is that your mind believes what you're telling it. That way you can then use those things to become successful. So I hope this has helped a little bit. It is pain and discomfort are inevitable in life. Some people are dished a very, very harsh hand, but everybody will face it at some point. And no doubt you have unchosen suffering. It will happen. Everybody's going to experience it at some point. And that's the last point that I wanted to make about all of this. You will have unchosen suffering in life. No doubt about it. So why not choose suffering too, so that you're prepared for unchosen suffering? Does that make sense? I'm hoping that makes sense there. Unchosen suffering will happen to you. I'm sorry, I hate to break it to you. It will happen to you. You might think that you're going to avoid it. It's the same with the cut on my back. You know, you're going to try and avoid unchosen suffering for your whole life. The moment that it hits you, if you avoid suffering and unchosen suffering your whole life, the moment it hits you, it will cripple you. Like, it will be so much worse for you if you avoid suffering and pain your whole life, because inevitably it will happen. If you're soft and weak, and I don't mean that in a sense that you are, but like, if you've decided that you don't want any mental strength whatsoever, so if you are soft and you're ill-prepared for when unchosen suffering happens, it will cripple you. Life is merciless. Like, the stuff that life can do to you is so much worse than what you can choose to do in terms of suffering. It's so much worse than mistakes you could make. Life is absolutely merciless. So when it does come, do you want to be prepared or do you want to not be prepared? That's the question we're talking about. And if you want to be prepared so that you can process this pain and eventually you can move on with your life, you need to choose suffering now. So there's loads of different ways you can do that. You can do that through exercise. You know, you can do that through putting yourself in uncomfortable situations. Stuff like ice baths are fantastic. Your body, your physical body is screaming at you because it knows there is danger and you're overcoming that. You're telling your mind that, hold on a second, we are the most powerful thing here. We are more powerful than our body and our pain receptors. I can tell you to overcome that. And that little lesson there is so applicable when something happens to you in life that you don't want to happen and you're able to process it more. You're able to work through it because you have these new strategies to go, I have been here before, I've been in pain, and I know that I'm going to see the other side. The worst thing about when Jacob died was that I didn't believe I was going to get to the other side. That's how bad it was. And even at that point, mentally, I had chosen suffering for a long portion of my life, not to the extremes I do now, but, you know, I was physically training basketball. I was in the gym a lot. I had the tools to process it, but like I say, life can be so merciless, it can be so unexpected, the suffering it chooses to dish you, that even with preparation, it's still going to be tough. And I managed to make it through. And I think managing to make it through that pain, a lot of that was the fact that I did have mental toughness. And even for me at the time, it was still very difficult. It wasn't a breeze. But I dread to think what it would have been if I hadn't chosen suffering throughout my life. So now, today, I choose suffering every day. I choose to do stuff that is difficult every single day, because I know that when something does eventually come around, I'll be very well prepared for it. And I hate to talk about silver linings to unchosen suffering, but there was a point to Jacob's passing, the, you know, once you've processed something extremely difficult and you have got through the other side, you're very well prepared for other unchosen suffering, which I've experienced now in my life a few times, and I'm much more prepared. And also just your day-to-day difficulties feel like nothing. You know, you take them in your stride. So, you know, those things also come through getting through unchosen suffering. The lessons and teachings and the training of the mind that you get through unchosen suffering, the growth you have is a lot stronger than chosen. And that's just the way life is. You can't decide on that. And it's like the worst gift you could ever receive. But the mental toughness that you have on the other side of surviving that and processing that is very, very special. And if you have been unfortunate enough to be on the receiving end of that, just remember that, you know, if you're going through it right now, you know, this is completely irrelevant, but I know so many people have experienced really tough things in life. And the fact that you got here today and you're still kicking, you're still moving, you're still working on yourself, you're still wanting to improve yourself is absolutely unbelievable. And you have something really, really, really special in you to become whatever you want to be. Just imagine that you survived that. How could you not achieve your business? How could you not achieve your fitness goals? Whatever it is, they pale in comparison to what you've achieved. And that is just to be here through the pain you've already received. And yeah, I want to leave you with my thoughts that I'm working on right now on this exact process. And this has all been coming up through, you know, putting myself through a lot of physical pain recently. And I have found that people who have experienced extreme pain through unchosen suffering seem to be very masochistic. And a lot of ultra endurance athletes have experienced some high degree of trauma at some point. And the best of the best seem to use that to their advantage. David Goggins is a perfect example. You know, David Goggins, people see as this tough guy. He got, you know, as he was growing up, he became this sort of, as he self-described himself, this soft guy who was working a job he hated, wasn't the person he wanted to be. And then he pulled out Goggins. After reading Goggins' books and listening to his life story a few times now, for me, I see this guy who went through a lot of trauma. You know, what he saw as a child was very, very difficult, what he got through. And that's where I think Goggins was born. Goggins was born in that mess of what he saw his mother go through and that pain that he was experiencing at that point. And to me now, he has this crazy mentality called Goggins where he's trying to push the limits of what is physically possible and what he believes is to be the hardest man alive and go through this pain. I am in the process of pushing up upon this pain in a similar kind of fashion. And I've been asking myself, why am I doing this? Why do I always find myself in a position where I'm trying to seek pain? And I think, you know, some of it is to feel that I'm still living. And the reason I wanted to share this with you is because I posted a video last night on my Instagram, and it was about Mike Tyson. And it's a really nice way to end this video because, you know, it's quite a dark conversation talking about these painful moments we go through and how to overcome them. But it's also very, very beautiful. And this is what Mike Tyson says. He says that you can't just live in the, and I'm paraphrasing here, but you can't just expect life to be beautiful and peaceful and calm all the time. it's going to be painful and agonizing and difficult. And that is what makes life so beautiful. You know, it's not the fact that it is peaceful all the time. It's the fact that you know that it's painful. It's the fact that you know that to live is to feel agony. To live is to feel loss. And we're blessed to be able to feel that pain, which is really powerful. If you've been through loss, to be able to feel that depth of emotion, I wouldn't change anything. I would not change anything. There's something about feeling pain and agony that really does make you feel alive. And I think that's why I chase it still. You know, a lot of you guys who have experienced pain, some of my closest friends who are really, really high achievers, extreme high achievers, you know, the 0.1%, you guys have seen them on the channel, been interviewed. The most of them have experienced traumatic pain in their lives and abandonment and agony and illness and loss. And they're all high achievers. And I think a large ingredient to that is that they are just able to cope with more pain and to feel alive and to feel like they're living. They need to feel in that state. They need to feel, you know, they need to be able to feel some pain to know and recognize they're living. I mean, this is just my experience and the friends that I've spoken to, but I kind of feel like that's their experience. And then also the processing of that pain to be able to, you know, work a 24-hour day until your eyes are bleeding doesn't feel like anything when, I mean, I don't want to give an example, but when you've been through some of life's hands, you know, and how could you not succeed with that perception, that perspective? It changes everything. So yeah, I hope this helped today, guys. I'm really thankful that if you've listened through to this part, I want to say a massive thank you as well to Huel. They really do make this possible. Like, without Huel on our side, we wouldn't be able to do all of this. So thank you to Huel for sponsoring the video. It's a quick, affordable, nutritionally complete source of food. As I've mentioned many times before, it really is convenient. Like, I cannot explain enough how convenient Huel is for me. It's been an absolute game changer in my life. I don't have time to prepare lunch most of the time. So the fact that I can just reach in my bag, grab a meal that has everything that I need has been a game changer. This is actually my lunch right now. So thank you to Huel for sponsoring the video. You can get exclusive offers down below. I don't know what you think to this type of video. It's something that I am very keen on doing more. I felt the most important thing to me throughout the last 3 or 4 years is becoming this documentary maker that really shared other people's stories. And throughout those, you know, those years, a lot of people have asked, like, how come I don't share my own story, my own experience? And I've tried to sort of bring that through a little bit and introduce it into the conversation. But what I don't want to do is ruin a conversation with somebody by talking about my experience. I don't know if that makes sense, but their story is their story. And if we've got a podcast episode and I've already spoken to the guest, maybe we can talk about, you know, back and forward about those kind of things. And I'm sure it will happen. But when I'm meeting somebody for the first time and telling their story, I really want to back off. You know, I know you guys know that's my style, is I want to allow the guest to speak. But at the same time, I felt for a while that the things that I went through and my experiences, I do think it has value. Inky Johnson told me that once I was ready, that I should reach over the hill and help other people out. And I'm ready for it now. And, you know, with the event that I'm working on, it's very much tied to my experience. And it's why I want to start sharing as well. So, yeah. And also, it was funny. Last time we spoke to Lewis Howes, he said, heal your big heart and you'll be able to have a big impact on the world, Jordan, or something along those lines. And it really hit a chord with me. And I think I've healed my big heart. So I hope that all makes sense. If you want to join the conversation, come on to Instagram and drop me a message. you get to see a lot of the behind the scenes with the training, and I'm trying to be more active again. Social media is sometimes a little bit too much. I still love doing the YouTube videos, but social media can be a little bit too much. But again, I'm trying to be active right now. So drop me a message. Thank you for watching. Have a blessed and productive day. And yeah, I'll see you in the next one. Peace.